God has taken Max and Sherry Greiner on an incredible spiritual journey, resulting in literally hundreds of authentic, documented miracles. The Greiners' continuing spiritual pilgrimage, which began in September of 1976, has been the subject of newspaper, magazine, book, radio, television, and internet coverage around the world. In 1989, the artist began receiving invitations to share his remarkable testimonies at meetings, churches, universities, and seminaries across America. Often, when Max would share his usual stories, the Holy Spirit would work more miracles as he testified about Jesus and prayed publicly. These classic messages describe timeless spiritual truths, which Max illustrates with actual contemporary miracles. In many cases, these miracles have been documented and witnessed by hundreds of people who were present at the time. If you have ever wondered if God still supernaturally intervenes in today's world, or you need your own miracle, or you desire a richer walk with God, the Greiner's testimony will bless you. Max's powerful testimony and his internationally collected Christian artwork are well known. For more information on his art or other inspiring messages from the Kerrville, Texas artist, please visit his website at www.maxgreinerart.com. That's www.maxgreinerart.com. We believe God will touch you as you hear this testimony. We pray now in the name of Jesus Christ that the following true testimony will be used by God to bless you more than you can imagine. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me? We're working? Hello, hello. Yes, there we are. Colonel tried to get y'all's attention. The way I get attention at meetings and at church is I just do a turkey gobble from the hill country. And that stops all the conversation right there. So you can try that, Colonel, next time you need a crowd to be quiet. Just let out a wild turkey gobble. I'm going to go ahead and start the presentation because we have an appointment with Destiny tonight. The Colonel is speaking on Fox News tonight. And we want to pray for him and we bless him. But I want to get this doing what I'm supposed to do. So let's do that. Let's get on the road if you don't mind. So go ahead and finish your meal. First, I want to thank Dr. Cook. You guys are amazing at DBU. God put us together. It's a divine appointment. It's a story for another time how God put us together, but it was divine. And our friendship and relationship has been just incredible, and we're going to get to talk about it in heaven one day. But I want to thank you and the entire team at DBU and for gracing the campus and using my artwork, and it was the beginning of our career. And, you know, you don't think about Baptists being prophets so much, but Dr. Cook, at one point, after they had blessed us so much, I felt like we were supposed to give our artist copy collection to DBU. You remember that when I came and you spent a couple of hours with me? And you said, no, I think God's got some other purpose. And I could not imagine in my life what else God could do. But it was the sculpture prayer garden, you know. And you allowed me to save that so Sherry and I later could give my entire collection to this sculpture garden that's now winning thousands and thousands of people. So, you know, you're a prophet there, Gary. And I thank you for your love and your support. And everybody there. It's an amazing place. If you got any kids or grandkids that need to go to a good school that still talks about Jesus and is not ashamed, send them to DBU, okay? Because it's a wonderful place. I also want to thank Pesach over there. The reason that we invited him, he was the one that the rabbi, Jewish rabbi, that helped us get the line of Judah into Israel. Sherry and I wanted to give the number one line of Judah life-size to the people of Israel as a gift from American Christians. And we tried to give him a $100,000 gift for free, and for 2 years it sat in a warehouse in right outside of Jerusalem, and they wouldn't receive it. And Pesach found out, and God used him and his influence with the government, and the line has now been placed in Israel, and coming up in May 5th, it'll be 1 year that it's been there. But it is an official gift of love from American Christians to the Jewish people. And Pesach, thank you again for helping us get that line, because that line, as you know, it's a symbol of Israel, it's a symbol of David, it's a symbol of Jerusalem, and it is a symbol of the Messiah. Revelation 5:5, you can read that part right there. And so it's something that's going to be there forever and ever. After all, in heaven, the Jewish nation will see this lion that's from American Christians that stand with them and love them. Finally, I want to thank you, Colonel. You're an amazing guy. We knew you had to have a better wife, because all the good guys, they usually got a really good wife. And so we just want to thank you for this honor that you've done for Sherry and me. Here I am now, I'm about to turn 70 years old. And a little point on the cancer thing. They did give me a diagnosis of most deadly kind of prostate cancer, 10 on the Gleason scale. If you had that, you got to know what that is. 10's the worst. They hardly ever see it. I had 10s and 9s all around my prostate. And then I got everybody praying, like Dr. Cook and you, Colonel, and June, and all of you. And you started they started praying. And then I had to go into this big battery of tests. They did the original biopsy. And all the tests came back clean. The bone scan, the MRI, the CAT scan, the chest x-ray, and the top surgeon in San Antonio, Naveen Kella, who is from India, his parents are from India, and he's one of the top in the world. He says, I don't know what's going on here. I said, sir, I've had thousands of people praying for me, and that's what's going on. And he said, well, I can't explain it. There's no other test I can do. The cancer's disappeared. And he said, all thing we can do is run another biopsy. And I said, okay, run another biopsy. We'll get double, glory for Jesus. So anyways, I bragged on Jesus, and I guess I ticked off the devil. Because, I went in and did the second biopsy. They came up with some more cancer cells. But now it was no longer a 10. It was no longer a 9. Now it was 7, and all 7s and 1, 8. And it had moved. And it wasn't in the parts, the geography of this little prostate thing that's about the size of a walnut. And anyways, so we got to pray on that. We believe we got the first bear. I think we killed him. It was a grizzly. And we took that one out. And now we got a black bear we got to deal with, okay? And so if y'all would keep praying, and one interesting thing is, as was said, my little granddaughters that are fantastically precious, everybody's prejudiced about their kids. But anyways, at Good Friday, Easter, two of my granddaughters that I'd led to Christ here in the past year, they prayed for me to be healed of cancer. And this was before we knew of the second biopsy stuff. Anyways, after 6 hours after they prayed, I didn't have to go to the restroom anymore in the middle of the night. And for a year, I'd been going 5 times a night with prostate cancer. And when those little girls prayed for me, gone. And I asked that doctor, I says, how's that possible? He says, I have no idea. I have no idea. Anyways, God's doing something. I don't understand it. It's mysterious. Y'all know that. All of you that walk with God enough. If you think you know all about him, you're wrong, because his ways are higher than our ways, and he wants us to stay humble. But I'm going to keep bragging on him. And so if you guys would keep praying for me, we sure appreciate it. And this is a journey, and every one of us has got a story, but we're supposed to tell it. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, I'm going to share a little bit about the life and times of the Grizzly Grinders or the Hill Country Grinders, and it's really kind of a love story. It's a love story between me and God, and God and me, and Sherry and I, and him. But it's a love story also between me and my wife, Sherry. And none of what you see that I've done wouldn't have happened without her. And because she has believed in me. I mean, she was attracted to me because I was so good looking early on. But but she actually believed in me. And what you see is because of her faith and love, and it started very early. And so this is going to be a kind of a fast testimony, because I don't want to mess up the Colonel's important words that millions of people need to hear tonight. But so this is the testimony of an artist that God got a hold of. Okay? And let's see if this works. Okay. And God's got a plan for all of us. He knows it. You got to walk in it. And I found that out early. And I got saved, and I was born to a dad and mom. They were Christians, Southern Baptist. I'm fourth generation Southern Baptist, 40 years of Southern Baptist. But they were godly parents. I was blessed. I was the oldest of four. And but I was going to a Baptist church in Beaumont, Texas, Calder Baptist, and there was me, my Bible. I got saved at age 7 by myself in Bible school. Y'all keep doing Bible school and send your kids and grandkids there. But I heard the message from somebody, an adult, and I said, Jesus, I want you in my heart. And so it stuck, you know, it worked. And you can see there I am building. They gave me a rector set. That's a bridge I built at about age 4. And anyways, I love the outdoors. That's my dad and hunting and fishing and bows and arrows, and I talk a lot. That's the phone picture. I thought that would kind of speak to that. And then I grew up and was an artist, and I did taxidermy, and that's actually my first bow hunting trophy with a bow and arrow. And then I mounted it. And I didn't have to mow grass. If I could do taxidermy, then I wouldn't have to mow grass. And let's see, I got a point over here. Yep, let me go back one. Okay, anyways, parents, siblings, let's see, I've got, Michael's not here tonight, he's with East West, but they're in New Mexico right now. Mom and Dad, my siblings, they all love Jesus, they're all serving Jesus. Michael's a missionary here with East West. On the right, youngest, Mark, he's a real estate in Austin, but he's head of the food pantry deal in Austin for years. My sister, Carol, she runs a 501c3 and is a director that gives away millions of dollars in East Texas. And so we've been blessed as a family. Where do I need to point? Over here when I shoot? Yeah. Okay. Now, these are early paintings and stuff that I did when I was 8, 9 years old. The bridge, the still life, the sailboat, and then my junior high years. With these two on the right. And that's my first sculpture, permanent sculpture. And again, I was doing art when other kids were still working in Crayolas and you know, finger paints. So grandparents and parents, see what your gifts to your kids are and give them tools. Give them things to do to use their natural gifts, because God made me an artist. And I knew that. Okay, let's see here. Oh, good. Whoop, I'm going to go back. All right. And I fell in love with the outdoors. I'm an Eagle Scout. Went to World Jamboree, published my first magazine article, national magazine article, when I was 17 years old in high school, senior in high school. Flipped out my English teacher because I was kind of a clown kind of thing. But here I walk in, they paid me for a magazine that was published, and it kind of stunned everybody. And I actually did graduate from high school. Some people think I was born on another planet, but I really was born here. Okay, that picture in the center, that's a little sketch I did of the most beautiful girl in the world I could think of about age 13. I'd finally noticed God made two sexes. And so I drew this watercolor, and I saved it. And I found it again recently. And then I spotted this girl, 16 years old, looked just like my sketch, you know. And I said, oh, God, and she is beautiful. And that's Sherry, and I met her at age 16, and I was 17, and we've been now married 46 years, dating for 50 years. I took her to the beach, saw her in a bathing suit. I knew I was not homosexual right then. I knew when I saw Sherry, and then I found out that she would shoot a bow and arrow, canoe whitewater, and carry a backpack, and I said, that's the girl I want right there, Lord. And so if you're praying for kids or whatever, pray what you want. It worked for my daughter and that man right there, Justin and Dinah Shea and Justin Evans. We prayed for that man every single day. Heard James Dobson talk about pray for your kids' future spouses. Every day as she grew up, she heard me pray for some young man, and there he's sitting there at the table. So pray for your kids and your grandkids and tell them to do the same. Anyways, I did go to architecture school, Texas A&M. Everybody said, and my parents, we didn't know any living artist. I always knew I wanted to be an artist. My mama wanted me to be an orthodontist because they made a lot of money and I was good with my hands. But I said, Mama, I don't want to spend my life inside of somebody's mouth. I think God wants me to be an artist. And no offense to you orthodontists out there. That's a good deal. We have a bunch of art collectors that were orthodontists. But anyways, so I did architecture and I did do some of that. And I went, and in the summers I worked with real architects. And then I went to Texas A&M, and they had just changed the whole architecture program to where the first 2 years were heavy emphasis on art and artist and imagination instead of engineering and square boxes and perspectives. And it was wonderful to me. And so those are some life sketches that I did just from people sitting there, and you got 5 minutes to do a sketch of somebody, you know. And so it was my piece of cake. And that's the dean of the college right there. That matter of fact, that man later, he prophesied, and I didn't even know he was a Christian at the time, but he said, one day you're going to be sculpting with a bulldozer. And I went, what? How do you sculpt with a bulldozer? Now I'm making sculpture prayer gardens, which you'll see, with bulldozers. And again, some of us out here speak God's words. We don't even know it. But he put that in me early on. Okay, now, so imagination was what you made A's at Texas A&M. So they called me Mad Max. The reason they called me Mad Max is I came up with all these creative projects, and I didn't do drugs, and I didn't drink, and I didn't chase girls. Well, I trust one girl, and I got her. That's her right there. That's the one I chased. That's the one I got. And but they said he must be mad. The boy must be mad. So I came up with this creative stuff. That's a dumpster on the, in front of the architecture buildings. I painted the scene of the architecture building so it would disappear at a certain angle, and a four-foot chicken on the other side, and just for fun. And it made the national. It was the first time Associated Press did a story on me. I was, I don't know, 20 years old, and I was on the front page of newspapers all across America with Richard Nixon. He was the headline, and I was, you know, Texas Aggie art create, or Texas Aggie artist creates trash art. And, but I got on the paper, you know, and and so then I got into even more wild creative surrealistic stuff. I loved, I looked at Salvador Dali, all his work. Up in the top left is a Kish, which is, hokey camp on purpose art, and so that's a Coon Lake jewelry box with a fake cardinal and little cherubs and stuff and raccoon fur on the inside. That's a bobcat eyeball ring, my first piece of jewelry. That's a chicken wine canner. You take the tongue out of the chicken and you pour wine into your wine glass from a chicken's mouth. Everybody should have one. And then my frog leg hand mirror, where it was real bullfrog legs grasping a ruby ball, and fur on the back side of it, smoky glass. But it was kind of like surrealistic Salvador Dali pop art stuff. But I got A. I mean, I was just acing my college courses. And this is up at the top left is a professor. He said, go out and come up with a creative idea and show up in class on Wednesday. So I go and I got the idea, and I probably wasn't from God. I'm not going to blame God. But to have breakfast on the professor, so I cut out the bottom of a trash can. I put it over his head. I poured in Cheerios. I poured in milk. I cut banana in half. Poured sugar in. I passed out spoons to the whole class. And we had breakfast on the professor that morning. Got A+. You know, and they still talk about it at Texas A&M. You ask him about Mad Max and what he did to Rodney Hill, the famous professor that was actually got the president's award. And then we could do anything. And so I was a bow hunter, and I wanted to do some hot pants for Sherry because she got nominated to be the sweetheart of Texas A&M. And so I went out and shot with a bow and arrow wild Spanish goats in Southwest Texas, skinned it, tanned it, took my Boy Scout shorts apart, laced it up, made these reversible. And those of you that are old enough, this was in style, the hot pants and the mini skirts back in the 70s. And so I did this really creative, A+, you know. And then, of course, this is in Irving, but we had a snow in Irving. And I was thinking about Sherry back home. So I just made a snow girl instead of a regular old fat-looking snowman. And the newspapers here picked it up in Dallas, and they ran it. And so anyways, but I did do some real architecture. And that's Sherry and I. You can see how young we are way back then. And she did bow hunting with me, and she was an expert at it. She's taking mule deer, whitetail, antelope, turkey with her bow and arrow. There weren't few women in the world that have done that. But there's an architects partnership in Dallas, and they did architecture, and I didn't really fit in too good there either. Matter of fact, I did bird calls from the top floor, and the owner, the, you know, main architect would come around looking for this dove that I was doing. Finally, we told him, it's me. You know, he said, son, you're ricocheting off the walls, and you'll appreciate this, Dr. Cook. I said, is that a compliment? I didn't know if he was complimenting me or not, but he wasn't. And anyways, but I did real architecture too and bow hunting. And then Sherry and I got married. And what you're seeing, we did design the whole wedding ourselves. Those are our wedding rings. We designed them, tried to make something godlike. And back then, gold was $43 an ounce, for any of you that are keeping up with that. And we dined, and her ring is a two-part ring that comes apart, and it was really unique. And then we had a wedding cake. I did the architectural drawing of it. It's very traditional on the bottom, starts off white, then it goes to a camouflage layer with a whole bunch of little porcelain animals, 20 arrow shafts, and real raccoon legs on the top with a buck and a doe. And that made the papers in Dallas, Beaumont, Port Arthur, Houston, Woodville. And there have not been many in the history of the world, there have not been many wedding cakes with real raccoon legs. Are you still with us, Pesach? Okay. This is what can happen to a Christian if you're not careful. But God is the giver of all good gifts. So we went on our honeymoon, and Sherry, believe it or not, that little girl carried a 40-pound backpack for a week in the wilderness hunting elk with a bow and arrow. And she did that, and it was fantastic. And she fell in love with the outdoors, and she has not fallen out of love with the outdoors. And y'all can go to our website, sherrysanimals.net, and see these incredible pictures with all these animals that God's brought her. Fred Bear, the most famous bow hunter in the world, that's a picture from the honeymoon. That's pictures are about to head into the wilderness. And then I'm doing this architecture and hardly making any money. I got a degree, and yet when you're the new guy in, you do the worst stuff. And so I'm like, fill up a copy machine, you know. And back in those days, it was ammonia, and it might kill you in a little room. Anyways, my archery had been going along, and so people heard that I was good at archery and good at art and architecture. So they offered me twice as much money to go to California and do my art and my archery and get paid twice as much. Sherry and I prayed about that about 18 seconds and said, that sounds like a good deal. So we went to California and I learned about marketing and I did catalogs and I did cartoons and I learned all kinds of stuff about selling and that's Sherry's idea about the Santa, the reindeer forcing Santa to pull the sleigh. And one of them's got a Jennings compound bow forcing him to go. And so, anyways, we're in a tent up in the Sierras, and she kept coming up with these ideas about all what the deer were doing. But in all of our lives, God never wastes anything. You know, everything we do, He brings it back around. Something you think is not very good or not very much fun, all of a sudden you use it later in your life. Well, He was preparing me and sculpting me to do what I do today. I love the bow hunting, and we did that, and caribou elk, and that's the black bear. And the first time God, I don't have time to tell the story here, but God spoke to me at age 24 in 1976, and the first time He ever spoke to me. And He literally spoke into my mind after Christian had witnessed to me, that man right there, Jim Beard. He said, God still talks to people. And I'm a Baptist. I said, I don't know about that. It speaks in the Word, but I don't know if He can just talk to you. So I said, God, if You'd ever like to speak to me, I'd like to listen. And bam, He downloaded a 5-point prophecy. And I don't have time to tell you. Go to our website and see it about the miracle bear. But He told me what the next 24 hours are going to be. The odds were 330 billion that it could happen. It all happened, and I predicted it in advance. Changed my life. I did not know. You know, it's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. But He talked to this Southern Baptist bow hunter on a bow hunt. I can't tell the story, but I remember calling Sherry. I said, after the hunt, I said, honey, I think I've just had a religious experience with a bear. She goes, what? How can you have a religious experience with a bear? But I did. So anyways, the lesson there is ask God to speak to you. And He'll guide you. And He does it a million different ways. And it's very creative. I got into leadership and archery and became the president of the National Bowhunter Education Foundation and the president of the American Wildlife Education Foundation. Donated lots of money, raised a lot of money for those conservation wildlife things, which I was in. But then my dream had always been to be an artist. And Sherry shared that dream with me. So my parents said, try, you know, go ahead and do it. So we left a great paying job in California, moved out to the woods in East Texas, and my family's vacation place, there was a lake with fish, and their trees had squirrels. We knew we weren't going to starve. And so we started the art business, and God blessed us, did my first wildlife sculptures, my paintings, and you can see we were kind of young back then, and did shows. And before I turned 30 years old, by the grace of God, we'd sold over $1 million worth of art. And And all I can say, it was the favor of God. And even moving to the house, we asked God, God, we'd one day like a red dog in front of a fireplace. And the day we moved on Mother's Day, my grandmother called up and said, hey, there's a bunch of red Irish setter puppies. Would y'all like one? We went and got that, and that dog came in and laid down next to the fireplace. And God had answered. We had prayed every night in California to move back to Texas and have a red dog in front of a fireplace. Bam, God answered that prayer. And anyway, so I did my wildlife art. I'd do a drawing first, and then I'd do the bronze. We actually got where we were selling out the bronzes before I even did them, where I'd just say I'm going to do a wildlife sculpture, and they'd sell for anywhere from, you know, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $10,000, $8,000. And we were just blessed. The paintings have got as high as $8,000. And we had success. Everything was great. We moved to the Texas Hill Country, bought a little piece of land, 12 acres, and we wanted to be there so bad. We came in a tent, and I'm an architect. They don't like mobile homes. But talk about a humbling deal. I was sure and I were willing to live in a mobile home to be on that land. And anyhow, we hadn't joined the church yet, and that first Easter went by, and Sherry said, Max Griner, we have to get back into church. And she said, we're going to get struck by lightning. And I said, oh, God doesn't work that way. The next day, I'm having lunch. We're looking out the porthole of the mobile home. A lightning bolt comes down and sets our property on fire. And no rain, no other lightning bolt, just one bolt set us on fire. And I fought the whole fire for 12 hours. And I said, honey, I don't know if that's God or not, but we're going to find a church this Sunday. And our testimony, we put in our testimony, our secular art testimony, how much we love God and Jesus. And we put a testimony in there. You're not supposed to talk about religion or politics when you sell stuff. But we did. And Sherry asked God, is it working? We're riding back on the highway 290. She's asleep with the baby, that little baby right there. And she says, is it working? She opens her eyes, and there's a billboard on the sign of 290 that says, it's working. God literally answered just like that. She said, God is the testimony we're given working. And there's a billboard. It's working. You'll notice it doesn't sell a politics. It doesn't sell a product. It's working. So I don't have time to tell you the whole story there. But God started speaking to us, and we learned, oops, went the wrong way, that he would talk to us. I raised a lot of money. That's A.C. Pope and Young. I raised a couple $100,000 for the wildlife conservation and did wildlife and stuff and was blessed. And I love it. I love the creation that God made. That's why we bow hunted. And I still have those pieces in case somebody wants one. but he's got me on a new path now. But the old path, I still got the art. And it's still good stuff if you like wildlife. But that's what you'll see, some of that in the show. Then we opened our own art gallery. There's Dinah Shea right there in Sherry's arms with our grandparents. There she is up at the top. And this picture shows Sherry's pregnant with her, that picture. But we started, it was at that point in time, God told me to do the sculpture of Jesus washing Peter's feet. And we were starting to, everything cratered in the 80s. Y'all may live through that. 95% of my art collectors went bankrupt, including oil men and very rich people. And it was at that point in time God told me to do the sculpture of Jesus washing Peter's feet. And I said, said to God, you don't understand. I need money, something that people will buy to not lose the land, not lose the mobile home. And Sherry had acquired a life-threatening illness at the time. And my dad had a life-threatening illness. And I needed some miracles. And he said, no, do this. And I disobeyed. I disobeyed for a couple of years. If God's telling you and you know it's him, go ahead and obey. Even if you don't know where it's going, just do what he says. Because I delayed my blessing. And it was at that point in time when I finally yielded and said, I'll obey, as we met this guy up on the top, Bill Banks, and he's a Presbyterian, and he prayed for us. My dad needed healing. Sherry needed healing. God brought me to him, and I said, I think I'm supposed to pray for my dad to be healed of incurable disease. And he said, you're right. You're supposed to. It's in the Bible. Have you ever prayed for the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit? And I said, oh, I'm Baptist. We got everything. He said, well, there's 9 gifts, and you have to ask God to release those gifts in your life. And I said, well, I know they're in there. I've read them, and Anyway, so Sherry and I prayed for these gifts. And right before we started praying, I said, this doesn't mean we're going to have to speak in tongues, does it? Baptists don't like tongues. And he said, well, you may get to after this. He was Presbyterian. And I said, well, tell God if he would just cut the tongues. I got the prayer language. And then all of a sudden I had a burden for the lost. And I started, it just came. I didn't care before. If you want to go to hell, go to hell. You know, but after that prayer, sorry, I'm embarrassing my wife there. But I mean, you know, if your choice, you don't want to believe in Jesus, if you don't want to believe in God, that's your business. But after that, he did something in my heart, and I had a burden for people that didn't know God, didn't know Jesus, didn't know the Messiah. And so I started praying for people. And they got saved, and they got healed. This guy had a claw hand, instantly healed. This lady was run over by a truck in North Star Mall, and 20 broken bones. God healed her when we prayed in front of 300 witnesses and a San Antonio policeman. This is a mental genetic disease. Our whole life, we prayed for her, and she got healed. This is the man here that was the head of the state hospital in Kerrville, a psychiatrist. We prayed for him for arthritis. He got healed and wrote a letter to the Baptist church. Says, look, I don't know what's going on. All I know is I had this all my life, and Jesus Christ has healed me. So this was messing up our theology, as you might guess. But we did the divine servant. I forgot to do the big one. God made it possible through a miracle. That's Jim Buick, head of Zondervan. He bought the number one sight unseen because God told him to let this young artist try to make the sculpture. And so I sculpted it. And that's that little blonde right there. Is that one. Same one right there. She turned out pretty good, didn't she? Anyways, and now this picture, Gary, that's the one we shot that day when I met Dr. Gary Cook at the Baptist. It was in Houston at the convention. And it was really my first masterpiece. And then we went on the road. And that's a picture of our daughter. She'd sit with all the stuff when we packed for a show so we wouldn't leave her. So she'd sit right in the middle of the stuff to put in the car, you know. And she grew up and got graduated from Texas Tech and now has her own beautiful family and precious granddaughters. But Sherry and I moved to the Hill Country. We finally got to build our house and passive solar earth sheltered out on 126 acres. You can't find us. Only Jehovah Witnesses can find us. And they're sorry. And they're sorry after they get there, you know. And this is the inside, and there's a big old freeform thing, and the chandeliers kind of made like yours out here in the Hope Center, but I used cedar, and I shaped it in creative form. Freeform fireplace, arrowheads and stuff from the land all buried in it. That's the atrium, and just a real creative kind of a thing that you might think an artist might want to live in. And that's where we live. And then this is where the miracle started. And I'm see where we're on our time. I don't know how to say this. You can go to our website and see. But the visible glory of God came into our house, and the Shekinah, which is called, I don't know if it's pronounced right, but it was in our prayer closet in that bathroom, and it goes up and down the walls and the doors and the floor. It looks like glitter. It's just a place where we prayed, and God started doing this. Wasn't my fault. And it's still there to this day. And that was in 1999, March 7th. And that Shekinah glory that sparkles, looks like glitter, happens. And it's on the walls to this day. And God put thousands of particles on my daughter, on her husband, on Sherry. And we use it as a witnessing tool. And we can tell somebody who's an atheist or a Muslim or a witch about Jesus. And the guy, he's not real. And I say, oh, yeah? Well, watch this. God, show them a miracle, would you? Put the glory on them. And suddenly it forms on their hands and their clothes and their faces, and they pray for the Messiah to come into their heart. And so we've used it as an evangelist, as a tool to basically win the lost. Anyways, we had it tested at Texas A&M University. I'm pragmatic in that sense. I want to know what it is. Is it real gold or not? The scientists at Texas A&M tested it. It's an unknown metal that doesn't occur in the universe. It's a brand new creation. And it freaked out the scientists at A&M because they teach evolution. There is no God. And this was a real problem for them. They don't know me. If you call that college, that department, they don't know Max Greiner. I invited them to come and to the house. And they said, man, we can't talk to you. We don't believe in God here. And I said, look, you just told me that's a new element. And I said, why don't you come if you want to send your scientists? And he said, no, I can't do it. And I said, I got to hang up on you. And he hung up. God said, write him a letter. So I thanked this doctor for doing about $5,000 worth of tests. And then I said, God said to tell him, no job is worth going to hell over. Never heard back from him again. but hopefully it made that scientist think a little bit. So anyways, the Shekinah, you can see it there. That's our daughter in a Bible study. God covered our daughter when she was registering for high school. Went up and down the lines, all the kids at the high school in Kerrville. And she calls up and says, Daddy, the kids want to know about Jesus. And I said, what? Aren't you registered? And she said, yeah, but you won't believe what he did. He covered me with the glory, and he covered all my friends all up and down the line. And so we had a Bible study. We had three of them. They all got saved. They all got full of the Spirit. And it's been a phenomena and a joy, and it's been fun. But the reason we do it is to bring people to Jesus or to stretch their faith. And we got a real big God. Sherry prayed for the for God to bring her animal. She decided she'd rather hug them instead of shoot them. So she asked God, you know, to bring me your animals. And man, did he ever do that. And you can see this is a picture of two doves sitting on her with baby deer and deer all around her at our house in Kerrville. And he's really answered her prayers. And we've been so blessed with, and that just, you know, that's, he gives you the desires of your heart. Talks about that in the Bible for her, besides me. That was her desires of her heart, was these wild animals. And so right now at the house, hopefully our employee is feeding the deer, and the raccoons and the animals are, they're breaking into the house at this moment, you know. And so we're hoping that he's doing his deal by keeping them at bay. And anyways, and then the other remarkable thing that started happening, angel orbs started showing up. And I'm going, well, I don't talk about angels, talk about Jesus, talk about Yeshua. But suddenly when we did this cross and we built our house, these things would float around the house. You can photograph them with a camera. Balls of light in Ezekiel 1, 15 through 20, it says a type of angel, wheels within wheels, four rims and eyes, is follows the Holy Spirit. And when we put that big cross up and when we built our house, these things started floating over the house. And we got thousands of pictures of these things. And again, I can't explain it. There's no scientific explanation to, and that's in our church, at Impact Church. And they're just showing up in places with Christians. And they're also, demonic ones are showing up with the occultists and the New Age. And the Holy Spirit said, now write on your website about the angel orb, show the best pictures on the internet, and then bring them to Yeshua. First start with Ezekiel, bring all the scriptures. And so now you can Google angel orbs, and Griner comes up first, and we're presenting the gospel to, I don't know how many, only God knows, but it's thousands and thousands of New Agers. So much that we were a topic at their convention that they had, that this Baptist artist down in Texas is talking about our angel orbs, and I present the gospel, and I believe, you know, a lot of them are getting saved. Anyways, we went on to do other sculptures that God gave me, the Fisher of Men, and when I found out that God could give you ideas, I just asked for ideas from him. And I quit trying to work up my own ideas. I just said, God, I'm going to wait, and I'll keep leading people to Jesus, but when you want me to do something, tell me. So I did all these different sculptures over the years, over a lifetime, and you're seeing a lifetime of work here as we click through this. And then God gave me this man, Mahesh Chavda, right there in the center with a blue tie. We're at a church in Austin, and he said, he met us on the way in. He said, you the artist, stand up. And he prophesied. And again, our roots are Baptist. And he said, God's going to use you. You're going to be involved in restoring the tabernacle of David. And all the art you've made in your life is going to decorate this last day's tabernacle. And I said, that sounds like a bunch of beans. The tabernacle has been done. And I think I said, he's nuttier than a squirrel, to Sherry. But the Bible says, don't despise prophecy. Anyways, in August, that stranger from Beaumont, Texas called up. He says, I'm Marlon Quibido. God said, you're supposed to build a 77-foot, 7-inch cross on Interstate 10. And I said, what? And I just turned down Irving for a $200,000 sculpture because God wouldn't let me do it. But I said, look, I'll pray about it and I'll turn you down. I'll tell you can't do it after I pray. So I prayed and I got this vision of a cross-shaped garden, empty hollow cross. And it was from God. And I knew at the moment that he gave it to me, suddenly there was the passion to build this garden. And so I did the architecture drawings, I did the stuff, and we had the whole plan for a cross-shaped garden with the gospel on 77 Bible verses in multiple languages. Anyways, models, built it, and you go all the way through reading the gospel, Old Testament, New Testament, all the way, and then John 3:16 is your approach to the cross. And then we claimed the land. There was a perfect piece of property God showed us. We put the cross in the ground. And then we prayed and said, God, we need $500,000 for this piece of land that's ideal in Kerrville and I-10. Didn't have the money. Sherry and I gave the biggest gift we could, but it wasn't enough. God wasn't going to let it be the Max and Sherry garden. It's going to be the Jesus garden. Anyways, that man, Herschel, where are you? Wave your hand over there. That's Herschel Reed. That's him right there. He prayed and he said, God, if you want me to give this foundation $500,000, when I open my eyes, I want to see a hawk floating over my head. When he opened his eyes, there were about a dozen northern hawks hovering over his head with the rest of us. And the next day, he gave me $500,000. That's the living witness right there. Every time I could see somebody with faith, I'd get them to pray. And I don't know how many times, June, you prayed for me in that crazy vision of a garden on the interstate highway. But I'd get whoever I could get to pray for it. And then God made it possible. We gave the money for the cross, the steel. It went up. The Paddlefords that owned the foundry donated their profits. We donated all of ours plus the money for the steel. And it went up in 2010. And that was after a big battle with atheists and the lawsuits and all the stuff that tried to stop us. But the garden now is in Kerrville. It exists. We're getting over 245,000 people a year coming from all over the world, all 50 states, and about 85 countries. And they're getting saved by the thousands. And the gospel is there, the poor prayers inside the cross, and it's life-changing. People are getting healed, paralyzed arms, blindness, deafness, cancers. And it's thousands of stories. And you can go to the Coming King website and see this. So that's what it looks today. That's what, Colonel, that you walked with us and walked that path and read those verses. But, you know, in Amos and Isaiah, it talks about walk my path and you'll find me if you'll walk my path. And last days, the tabernacle will be restored. And so this is a type of that tabernacle. And so I'm just about finished here. But now all these sculptures are in the deal. And we're starting another garden. And it's going to come online this summer in South Carolina, right south of Columbia. And then Minnesota, 40 miles south of Minneapolis, they're building another garden. And the cool thing about it is you don't have to be a Christian. You just come to a tourist attraction. And you're presented with the gospel of Christ. And thousands are coming to him. And it's working. And there's the four prayers. Where you're going to be in 1,000 years? Good old Billy Graham, Southern Baptist, How to Get Saved. Becoming Empowered, that tells people about the 1 Corinthians 12 gifts and how to activate those supernatural gifts. And then healing and deliverance, how to get in line for supernatural healing from God. And then finally, miracles, signs, and wonders. And sometimes we need a miracle in our lives and what's going on in our families. And so it tells people the scriptural way. And thousands are doing it, and thousands are being changed. And I could tell you stories for hours. But I can't because I don't have time. But the Paddlefords donated their sculptures. They're the other couple that donated. And then the Broussards donated their sculptures. So there's three artists that have donated all their work to build this garden. And people are getting, we've had 37 suicides have been canceled up there. That's a rock that says, thank you, Lord, for bringing me to this cross and not allowing me to go through a suicide. It's psychiatrists and psychologists are sending their patients. They're prescribing, go to the Kerrville Garden. That lady got instantly healed when they just prayed in a crowd. She was a Baptist. She didn't think that could possibly be true, that she got healed of something, of her knee for her whole life. And she waited for a month before she'd tell me. And then she said, I don't know what to tell you except you prayed from that group and in a group and everybody, and I got healed. And there's people that are going up there and thousands are being covered with this Shekinah glory glitter. And the angel orbs are showing up, and everybody that brings their cameras, a lot of them are getting these pictures in their cameras. So it's quite a faith journey, it's been fun. We just recently donated the number one line of Judah to the people of Israel, and we got a number of you that donated in here. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts, because now America has given Israel a gift of love from American Christians that show them how much we love Israel, we love the people, we love the sculptures, and we really like their Messiah. So the question is, where are you going to be in 1,000 years? All of you guys probably know. If there's any doubt, let me just pray a quick prayer. If you don't know where you're going to be in 1,000 years, just pray this with me. God, if you're real, I want to know it. If Jesus is the Messiah, I want to know it. Lord, reveal yourself. If you are, then I invite you into my heart right in this moment. I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, Lord God, Jesus. And I just give my life to you. Fill me with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Empower me to do your work and to serve you all the days of my life. And I thank you, Father, for doing that for me. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. Okay, you don't have to tell me, but you got to tell somebody. If you just prayed that for the first time, you got to tell somebody. Because that's what the Lord said to do. you tell somebody and you witness. That's it. So it says if we lift him up, then everybody will come to him. And that's what you're doing, Colonel June. That's what you've been doing your whole life. We fell in love with you when we first listened to you on the radio. Sherry said, you need to be listening to Christian radio. And I said, I don't have time. This is way back. And, you know, and I started finding out people like you with the wisdom of, man, this lady's got the wisdom of Solomon. If y'all hadn't heard her shows, you need to listen. And so anyways, thank you. And thank all of you that have supported this place. Please do it more, because this is a super unique place on the planet, where it's a birthing place for thousands of ministries and salvations and things. You have no idea what seed goes from here on, but thank you, and please keep supporting them, because they are, and I've been around a bunch of high-powered folks. By being at these shows, I get to meet everybody. But this lady that I met here all those years ago, she's the true blue. She's the real deal. And this man is right here, too. So I encourage you to please support them, because we need more like them. And I think I'm finished. I'm finished. So, yes, we got one more little surprise. I asked, I know you got to go. But we got this quick, come. Hold on, not you. Hold on, Colonel. You got 2 seconds. Okay, photographer, get over here. I asked God, I want to give a gift to you in appreciation. And this was, and you didn't know. I said, I want to thank him. What can I give him? And I have hundreds of stuff. He said, give him a sword. He'll like a sword. Come over here. Okay. So anyways.
Oh, my God.
You got that? And the funny thing is, he came in the room with the art. He looked all around. He walked over to the sword. He says, I want the sword. So God will.
Gibson has nothing on me.
Amen. Wow. So thank you, my brother. We love you. And bless this man, Lord, and keep using him. And tonight, let him do a wonderful job. In Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. Okay, now yours is in a brand new box.
I don't know what to say. And it talks about here, I have on my wristband to put on the full armor of God. And, of course, it talks about the sword of the Spirit. So, Max, thank you so much. And I will always carry this sword with honor and grace.
You're welcome. And it's a gift from Sherry and me for you guys. Now, we got a brand new one in the box. This is the one that goes to the show, but you got one, and April's got it. So it's in your office. Thank you.
I don't know what to say. All I know is this. I got to be in a chair in about 2 minutes, or else Laura Ingram is going to yell at me. But the bottom line is this. This night was made possible because a person came to one of our quarterly prayer breaks. That was Paul Collage. And when Paul came in, he felt the Spirit in his seat. And he came and he had breakfast with me later. He said, tell me what I can do. How can I help you? And I looked at him and said, sponsor an event. And Max saw on my whiteboard in there where I wrote that I wanted to have a Max Griner Jr. art exhibit when I first got here last year in June. Paul, you made it come to fruition because of your Spirit and your obedience to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this can be the center point of Christian activity in North Texas. This can be the beacon that shines. I love Dallas Baptist University because it sits on that hill and it's illuminated for all to see when they drive past it. When people drive past the Hope Center on President George Bush Turnpike, I want them to know what's going on here. And I want them to know the vision that started in 2008 will continue on so that 50, 60, 70 years from now, there will still be a Hope Center, there will be countless Hope Centers, we will still be winning.